Sisters, Declassified, Life, Survival Guide. Two sisters with four daughters, dishing drama, trauma, and survival tips for the everyday.
Good morning!
Good morning, Rachel!
How cold is
it
there?
We're doing it in the morning! Yay!
We're doing it in the morning! You guys are going to get the best of the best here. Yes.
Brain clarity is better in the morning than after work.
So much better. So much better.
For sure.
Is that like the beginning of the descent of our mental capacity?
I think that happened about like 4 years ago. I started noticing that, maybe a little longer than that, but like I started noticing a descent. Todd, I kind of want to get
all
that
gonna
testing.
Die.
Yeah, but I kind of want to get that testing that you get that's like a to
genetic.
See what your markers are for like all that shit. It's so expensive, and of course insurance doesn't pay for it, but I kind of want to get it done. But
it'll
then
get
I'm
cheaper,
also
though.
like, maybe the unknown is better, right? I don't know.
I don't know. You know, roommate four has the, in my medical directive anyway, I probably, well, once they're over 18, it doesn't matter. But in my medical directive, she has the steering wheel. So
Yeah.
I told her if I have diminished capacity and I don't remember her birthday or who she is, then she has, like, I don't want to be a burden on society. So like, it's, she can pull the plug basically.
Yes.
And
well, Randy and I have each other's and we're the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like telling this story to someone one day with Randy there. And I'm like, yeah, if Randy like is like out of it and can't respond or whatever, I'm pulling the plug. And he's like, well, give me a couple days.
Well, yeah, I guess
like,
so.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of days. Like, I mean, obviously, I'm gonna verify that like there's no life there, or you know, and I'm the same way.
Yeah.
That's a very, very touchy subject. Like, you know,
and it's really hard in the moment, I'm sure.
Somebody, but like, I don't want to be here if I'm not myself. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't want to be a burden. Yeah, number one. I mean, dementia is like, oh, my biggest fear.
Well,
because
and
that is so hard on loved ones.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
I mean, even if it diminished mental capacity for sure, because there's no reward in that because they don't remember you and all of that.
Right.
But then there's also the physical part too.
Yeah.
Like if you can't, you know, get up
go
and
to the
walk.
Bathroom.
Yes.
Or,
Yeah. That's also hard because full-time care is expensive.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, and it's necessary. That's one other thing that is people struggle with is like, do you put them in a home or something? Because for somebody else, if they need full-time care, I mean, it's too much for some people. I don't know. I probably would do it for mom as long as I possibly could. I mean, I know I would. She asked me that one time, not too long ago.
What'd
She said,
say?
if I ever can't be on my own, can I live with you? And I was like, well, of course. I'm like, I don't know why she would fear that, like that we wouldn't take care of her. But
well,
anyway.
Was she asking you that because she didn't want to go into a home?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
Okay, I'm checking the gerbil. She decided she was only going to use three of her legs yesterday.
Okay.
So I'm like, what the fuck, dude? I was like looking at her paw, which is like the top of my pinky finger, to see if there's something stuck in there or something. And then I'm pretty sure it's like her hips and her nerves. She's getting old. Speaking of, I'm like, yeah. Like, and the dogs can't tell you when things hurt, you know, or where it hurts. So I like massaged her back and her hips and shit. And she seems to decide that it's going to work today. So it's fucking touch and go, dude. Like, Lily,
I
you got it.
This dog is still alive, to be
like,
quite honest.
You
got
to tell me, dude, it's
she's
something
a trooper.
It's something about me. Like, all the dogs I know, like, live until they're like 195 in dog years or whatever.
Oh, We had some gun dogs growing up.
We had dog trauma growing up.
We had dog trauma. Oh, so much dog
So,
trauma.
so much dog trauma.
Oh my God. My kids, like, I barely let them. Well, we didn't have very many dogs. We had a couple dogs when my kids were growing up. But, like, one of them we got from, like, the Humane Society, and it had parvo. So it died pretty quick. We had another one that ran away during the fireworks.
Yeah,
And
and
we
actually
never
ran
found it.
away all the time.
Yeah, it was a beautiful dog. And then we didn't get another dog until roommate one brought one home when she was a senior in high school. And I'm like, I mean, it was the cutest dog ever. All of my kids love dogs and have recently got new dogs. Oh, roommate three has, I think, five currently.
Yeah.
But she'll always be a dog person. But all of my kids love animals so much.
Yeah.
Roommate one has, what does she have? She has two
Ten.
dogs.
Ten.
She, well, and this is Hadley's, also, but she's got a, is it a gerbil? Yeah, a gerbil. And then they have a, what is that? Hedgehog.
Oh, yeah.
Those freaking animals are creepy and pokey and gross. It runs on its wheel and like poops in the night. So then the whole cage is like covered in poop. And
Oh.
they're nocturnal, so they do that all night. So she's constantly having to clean that cage. It's so gross,
Oh my
but
God, did you hear the
it's
story
cute.
about the woman in England who
No.
thought she found a hedgehog baby?
Okay.
And she like whatever, it was like late at night and she thought she found a hedgehog baby and she
It's not
put
a
it
hedgehog. Go
anyway,
ahead.
she put it in the she put it in a box and like gave it water and food and made it warm and shit and took it to the vet in the morning. And the vet was like, "We're really sorry to tell you, but that's a pom-pom from someone's hat."
Is it hedgehog? They're like round with like spiky little things.
Yes.
Okay, so it is a hedgehog. I'm like thinking that doesn't sound right, but okay. Anyway, they've got some animals, and yeah, my kids all love them. I love them too, but I don't have time for one.
It's maintenance. You got to take care of it. It's like having a freaking other kid. I
I
mean,
know we want to get one. Eventually we'll probably get
a
another one.
hedgehog?
No, a dog.
Oh. God, I was like, why?
No, because I would not want to clean that every day. Like, oh my gosh.
Mm-mm.
No, but I will get we'll get a dog. My husband wants a, what is that called? Big dog.
Great Dane? Greyhound.
Cori Corso,
Oh, the Egyptian ones.
Koi Corso. It's something Corso. I don't know. Anyway, we found a few on like Marketplace, and actually there was one Cane Corso, and there was one at a shelter in Tulsa. But I'm just like, babe, we cannot get a big dog right now, and also we live in a rent house,
Yeah,
so. It's
I
just the whole
know.
thing. So I'm like, eh, we'll
Well,
wait. But
also,
I want a little one. I want a lap dog. Like those are the best.
well, if you, well, you've got Randy there to help you out. But like
Yeah.
for me, if I travel, I have to find a sitter. I'm
Yes,
not.
like
I
that's a
can't.
big deal.
Yeah, I can't kennel her. I just don't trust other dogs. It's not like I don't trust a
Right.
kennel, but I'm like, no. You give any dog 2 seconds with her, and they're probably gonna pounce on her because she's old and decrepit. And she can't really defend
And
herself because
also
she,
2 pounds.
yeah, well, she doesn't have any teeth, you know? So I don't know. Ugh, can you still hear me?
I can.
Okay.
Why?
So what are we talking? Also, congratulations, mom, to a 26-year-old child.
Oh my gosh. Yes. My
Well,
roommate number
that's
one is
today.
26 today.
Today,
Which
but
this is not the day it's airing, but
yes, we're
the
recording
day we're
on
recording.
the
Yes.
birthday, which that was
Yes.
the only birth I was not present for.
Yeah, you were in no, were you in college?
Yeah, I was in at Hack.
Okay. Ah.
I was at Hack. And then, yeah,
Hack.
that summer when I came back, but I hung out with her a bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're gonna address an email today because we talked about this a few podcasts ago and we got an email. And so we are gonna talk about that email because it's
Yeah.
super relevant. It also stays, it also is very relevant right
Yeah, it's
now.
current, it's current, it's relevant, it's
Yeah.
in the demographic because we know the age and sex and right kind of demographics of this person. And I don't think it's uncommon for anyone this age to be questioning
Feeling that way.
and feeling all the feels, the big feels
Yeah.
that they are, because it's really, really common, not only just at this age, but also at this current time. But I think you and I can relate too, is that we kind of felt the same way at the same time, and that there's some correlation there too with
Yeah.
trying to figure out like what the fuck, you know? I would see we should just call this episode a mailbag episode because
Yes.
we're sort of gonna talk about this the whole time because there's a lot in the email to address or to talk about. So even I know we're gonna riff on everything else like in these questions. But
Sure.
I wrote down a synopsis of the questions.
Okay.
Like, so just basically what, well, do we want to read it?
You can read it.
Okay, so I'll read the whole thing pretty quickly here, and then we can kind of pick them apart and go through and look at
Yeah.
what the questions are. So here's our question from our listener. How are people, young people who have many more years to live, supposed to research and take politics seriously when there's either no one to represent them and or it takes too big of a toll of our mental health? My political views were strongly influenced by abusive family growing up, and now that I fully carry my own beliefs that are drastically different than what I was raised to think. When I start researching politics, I think there was a question there, but anyway, and then I know it's a she, goes on. When I start researching politics and candidates, and I see candidates that are religious or completely fascist, it triggers me. When I can't find anyone that aligns with my values or belief, it's so disheartening. Why are we supposed to vote for the least evil? What do y'all think voices living here in this country should stay quiet if they aren't participating in a broken system that doesn't represent them? Which is a little bit conflicting there, because I think that they meant to say, why should they stay quiet if they aren't participating? Which was kind of a double negative, because we were talking about if you're not gonna vote, then shut up, right? Okay.
Yes.
But I think that's a little, it was, that's what she meant to say. I understand that not voting when you are able to is shitty because others can't vote. But if there is nothing representing you, how can you continue to vote for the lesser evil? How can you blame anyone for stepping away because of mental health? Can people still spread awareness and speak up for social injustices and educate themselves and still be a good citizen and even care if they don't vote because it physically and emotionally affects them so greatly? Or should they keep their mouth shut because they can't adapt to a failing system? So that's the end of the email. And there's a lot there,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
So, and but I do think that this person is just really voicing a lot of the sentiment that younger voters or younger citizens will say, looking to participate in the civic duty of voting and finding
Yeah.
representation are coming up against. They're hitting this massive wall of geriatrics, and a
Well, that's
gerontocracy.
everybody in politics anymore,
And
you know? Yeah,
almost
it's
everyone.
unbelievable.
We first of all need to recognize that within politics in the last 10 years, we've seen a huge rise in representation from women in particular, which is a
Yeah.
big freaking deal.
Huge deal.
And then also, like, particularly in the shorter term seats like the House, local government officials, and across the board in the lower representation classes, we've seen a ton more Latina, right, diversification of all of the actual representation of what is in the population. This
Sure.
is why there's a backlash right now. This is
Yeah.
why we're in a culture war, is because women are getting more power and people of color are getting more power, which is a representative democracy. And people are losing their damn minds because they're absolute white nationalist Nazi motherfuckers.
I mean, even if people don't, I mean, I think that most people don't think that of themselves, but the way that they act when somebody
Who's
in
not
that
representative
class
of them?
that's not a white male, the way that they lose their mind over it is so telling of that.
Right. So you don't
Absolutely.
have to say it explicitly or
Right.
even have, whatever, deplorable flag that says it, but your actions and the way that you're treating people in these positions of
Yes.
power who have gotten there by representation are triggering you, and that's why
Yes.
there's this backlash.
Yeah.
So I think
I
that's
mean, I
important.
100% run into people all the time that are like, well, I'm not racist, but, and I'm like,
That's a
that,
big but.
but there is literally making a huge statement. And then they don't think women are inferior, but you know what I mean? So that word but means so much. I find myself saying not those particular things, but stuff like that all the time. And I'm like, well, I agree with you, but I really don't agree with you. I agree with maybe most of what you're saying, but there is reservations. And I think that a lot of people unconsciously are biased towards the white old man running everything. So.
Yep. And it's a little it I want to say that on a lot of these points, I do not disagree.
No.
But there's my but.
Yes.
I think that at this, well, one, okay, let's go back a little bit and look at the why are they feeling so powerless? One, we stopped teaching civil service, like
Well, in
history,
government.
government, any of
Yeah,
that
we talked
in
about
our
that the other
schools.
day. There's
Right.
no the government educate the education on government is nil. I mean,
Right.
it's so minuscule.
And we could
People
talk
don't
about the history.
understand the importance.
No, and we could talk about the history of that and where it came from and why that movement started. And I
Right.
will say, without giving, a ton of backstory, that it absolutely has to do with a white nationalist replacement theory movement in the United States. So it definitely came from that racist element. All of it has,
Yeah.
because there's always been a fear of the immigrants, the women, the right minorities rule being there. And
Right.
if we just look at our simple history, United States is a minority rule country. We beat England.
Right.
We fled from England as immigrants. We beat England, and now we're the world's, superpower. Although, yeah, that's slowly degrading. But that was the whole freaking point of the US,
Yeah.
is right to make sure everyone's voice is heard, that we are a representative democracy, right? And those terms are really thrown around a lot, but it is a representative government of the people, by the people, for the people. Is written into these things, but when it starts looking a lot like the actual population, then people lose their damn minds. So let's start from the beginning of this a little bit and kind of
Okay.
dissect it and then go through it. One of the first things that this mailbag reader brought up was the fact that the youth, which are going to be in the system longer than potentially our demographic, is
Sure.
not represented in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could look at this from state, federal or local, state, and federal levels, right?
Sure.
And so, again, I don't think that's wrong, because we are in a gerontocracy and there's a lot of older people. But I want to counter that argument a little bit by saying, like, look at the house in a lot of states, because there are a lot of young, like, think of the guys in Tennessee, the two black guys and the one white guy that got thrown out and stuff, and
Sure.
then reinstated right away because it created such a stir. AOC, there's quite a few younger generational types that have got made their way through. And so
Sure.
I will say that that is a movement, but I also want to say to this reader, run for something. I mean, literally, anyone.
Local, do
Yes,
local,
local, right? But they're not wrong. They're not
Yeah.
wrong on saying that. We all know that. It's all a thing. The whole Biden and Trump like age shit is a thing. I get that. I also want to mention the fact, and like in a lot of other countries, especially like let's say developed democracies across the world, which I think there's between 13 and 18, depending on how you classify them. Age is important, but in a lot of them, age is a feature, not a bug, because they have more experience, they know how to work the system. But in
Yes.
general, this whole email vibe is like the system is broken. It is if you don't take part. Yeah, it's not going to work for you if you don't know how to take part. But again, we get in the argument where we're butting heads against, well, there's no education, there's no civic governmental education about how it works. So
Sure.
yeah, then of course it feels like, you're getting shoved into a,
It's overwhelming.
yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're wrong. Representation in politics, but then again, you have to look at representation in terms of what are your beliefs? What is your ethnic background? What is your social class? That's a big freaking deal, because a lot of these politicians are just wealthy motherfuckers, and that's the only way they can get in. So if,
Yeah.
until we remove the money out of politics, we're never going to have a representative democracy.
Well, and that's been for many, many years.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
forever. It's like the one with the most money wins. I mean, Trump proved that. 8 years ago, 12 years ago, when he ran, 8 years ago, when he said, I mean, I thought it was hilarious. At the time, I'm like, oh my God, this rich, wealthy person is going to run for president. And I thought this will prove 100% because he has no background of politics whatsoever. Like, he literally had not been in anything political. He was just a wealthy businessman that said whatever the heck he wanted to. I feel like our governor in Oklahoma is so much like Trump.
You're not wrong.
It's so true. I was so hopeful for the last governor election that we were going to get an amazing female to be our governor, but that didn't happen. Which is, it is what it is. It was voted. It was one of the best, like the it was like one of Oklahoma's biggest, because she was a Democrat. Oklahoma is highly Republican. So the fact that she had so much of the vote was kind of amazing and actually encouraging that people aren't just 100% closed-minded to that. But he's a lot like Trump in that he says and does whatever he wants, and he
Yeah.
doesn't follow any political, like,
No accountability.
no accountability. And it's just so disheartening and so frustrating to watch
Well,
it happened. I
and that
mean,
is, I think, part of the sentiment here is that they're like, well, we had a good option, and then
yes.
it's like the pardon ageism here, but the old fucking farts who are set in their ways are not really thinking
And
about
they always
how.
vote.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the other big takeaway, that's like, yeah, but the other side's gonna fucking vote,
Right.
right, against you. So if you don't participate, then you're basically letting them have it. You're rolling over and you're saying, I'm not gonna stand up and fight. And yeah, it's
Yeah.
fucking hard.
And
And it's
nobody's gonna
frustrating. It's
this
frustrating.
yeah. This is the other thing though. There is never probably ever going to be someone who aligns with you
Perfectly.
100%.
Absolutely.
You're never gonna find that person that's like, I agree with them on this, 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 everything. I agree 100% with everything. So, and I know she wrote in there something about the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, twice. So, well, yeah, twice. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is go for the positives in each candidate and see who aligns the best from the positive standpoint. I mean, I
Well,
think we actually use that term, the lesser of two evils,
we
in our
do a
podcast.
lot. But I think there's a better way to tell younger voters about that. And I think
Yeah.
the better way to tell younger voters to vote, one, this is how I have begun, and this is another little how-to here. One, look at what they do, not what they say.
Yes,
So follow
that's
their track
so
record
true.
of voting. What have they voted for? What have they made movement on? What have they brought to your community? How have they made it better? So look
How have
at
they
what
made a
they
difference?
do not say, like, what do they do? Don't look at what they say. As we've seen in the last 8 years, anyone can say anything and blow smoke out their ass and just right completely do the opposite of what they say. So look at
Yeah.
what they do, and then secondly, where are they getting their money from? So you almost every single representative elected official has to report who they get money from, and it should be on your state's website. So if you go to whatever state, alaska.gov, right, and you look at who's running, who's on the ticket, they have to disclose who their contributors are. So you can follow the money every single time, and you may not align with everything that their statement, whatever the fuck that means, says, but look at how they vote on decisions. Look at what they're going to support and then see where they get their money, because that's where you can tell, okay, that's a person I can vote for if they're not taking money from dark money sources, if they're not, right, completely bought out by a work, you know, either a huge corporation, right, that's just
Right.
contributing to them to get into that spot. Then you know exactly, they're telling you exactly what they're going to do and
Yeah,
who
the
they take
one
money
that
from.
does the most money, they're paying basically for them to
Yes, it's corrupt. It's a
buy
paid
their vote.
politician.
Yes.
Yes. And we see that from the
I mean,
Supreme Court down
it's
and the
100%.
presidency.
Yeah, it happens everywhere. For sure. I don't think that's a shock to anybody.
No, but if you really don't even vote along party lines, that's a great
Right.
way to do it, is just go, okay, what have they done? Who have they voted for? What policies have they voted for? Or what policies do they support? And then who gave them money? Then that tells you everything you need to know about them. You don't even
Yeah.
have to, like, don't believe their statements.
No.
You can't.
It's all lies.
Yes,
It's
it's
all
a
lies. Yes,
lie.
because they're saying what they think you want to hear, no matter what. In every political campaign, they go and make promise after promise after promise. I mean, the governor's election, the presidential elections, all this stuff, if you read their speeches, you're just like, so, I mean, I can't remember. I think it was Biden. Who said every car on the road will be electric in 10 years?
Brandon, Dr. Brandon coming out.
I was like, oh my gosh, like that's hysterical. That's just a funny example. I
Yeah.
don't know if it was 10 years. It was a short amount of time. I don't know the exact amount.
Sure.
But I'm like, there's no way, because there's so many people. I mean, it would take 100 years, probably, you know.
Yeah.
It's not in the nearest future that
Right.
everything is going to electric. Like, that's just silly. But like, this is what they do when they're campaigning and they're like trying to get the vote, and they're saying these random things that they think you want to hear, or big corporations want to hear, or whatever. So yeah, you do have to read more into just what they say. Do the actions and watch what they do. I agree with
Yeah.
that 100%.
Yeah, do not say. And that's so hard, I think, for, again, we don't teach civics or government. So how would they know? Well, go to your state websites. I talked about this a little bit, and it's kind of unnerving, and it's also a really bad sign that people aren't posting their statements about like what they do believe in or policy stuff. Which is a little disturbing because that's a sign of like propagandist and like political violence, meaning that they're not willing to say it because they're in fear of getting repercussions from that. So that's a huge, huge sign. But the other thing is that in all campaigns, you have to disclose over a certain dollar amount who you took money from. So even if it's a PAC of some kind, you still have to disclose that it's a PAC, even if it doesn't say exactly the donors, but you can then backtrack that to the PAC and look at who's building that PAC or that coalition to support them. So if you do follow the money, it's absolutely the best way to look at what they're going to do. You can tell. But I think you and I, let's go back to you and I, we felt the same way, particularly around this age and like when our kids were young. I say our kids as if I have more than one, but between the two of us combined, that we kind of were in limbo for a while too, because we had just come out the cult. We had been told what to vote for, who to vote for, in every election up until we grew up, came out of the cult, and then had to start making our own choices. And we also felt like there was nobody who aligned with us.
Sure.
I still don't think that. I don't think there's anyone who perfectly aligns with my beliefs either. But I do know that I'm more willing to show up and vote against the other people who are going to vote against my own interests and what I want, that I will, because I want to make sure they do not get their voice overheard, and then I have to live in their society, that I will show up and vote at least for the candidate who most likely represents what I do believe. And that's not going to ever align perfectly. And let's see, I was going to say the second thing they mentioned was their beliefs not aligning with the family or a party. And I'm like, we live in a two-party system, you know, and you and I grew up in a fucking cult. Like, our belief system was shattered. And then we had to figure it out and build it from scratch after, you know,
100%.
And we did get a little bit of a civic and government education. I mean, it was minimal, but we did. We knew how the government functioned.
Right, how it worked.
And what your job was to do as a, you know, civilian in the United States. And
vote Republican.
Yes.
That's what they would say. Well, anyway.
And I will say that party of Republican wasn't necessarily all that bad at the time.
Well, that's true, too.
It definitely pushed us to where we are now.
I feel like both parties are going, like, you know, more to the right and more to the left.
That's particularly because only the loudest, most obnoxious voices get heard.
Yes, I think that that's very true. I think
and
that's
a small
true.
Percentage of it. Most people are somewhere in the middle.
I agree with that, for sure. Because, I mean, there's parts of both parties I hate.
Oh, God, yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, I definitely think looking at individuals, not just a party, is the way to go.
And that's up and down the ticket, right? Go both ways. Like really, we talked about that last time, is you got to look at your local almost more than even the top, because, you know, takeovers happen really slow. They happen from like judicial levels. They happen from local city councilmen. They happen from our state representatives, our state senators. It goes up and down the ticket there. And you really just have to look at, okay, well, who, let's say, and it's almost like, oh my God. So when you get interviewed for an academic job, which is also, I will not mince my words in that academia is a definite bureaucracy, and it is the definition of the least of two evils. And when you go and get interviewed or take a job in an academic environment, you basically go up against a panel of people none of which really understand your particular field, but all of whom will vote you out based, well, the candidate who gets elected in an academic job is the one that everyone hated the least. And
Yeah.
that is sort of what you need to do. If you're struggling with this, especially on the smaller local ones, what you have to do is go, okay, what's the worst case scenario? And which candidate do I hate the least? Because unless you're willing to run for something or you're willing to put yourself on the line, then you have to go, okay, I can't stand this person. I can't stand all of them, but
Right.
this guy is the least, this guy, woman, whoever is the least offensive. Right. So it really depends on, like, it is in some sense the least lesser of two evils, but it's also like the candidate you hate the least. And that is unfortunately the representative democracy that we have now. However, you have to think of it also, you can think about it a little bit more positively in terms of, well, this is the candidate that at the very least most represents my values. And it's not always going to be that way, but I am going to plug someone here, Liz. I'm going to plug, fuck, I think, let me look it up real quick. The organization is Run for Anything, I believe. Oh no, Run for Something. And it's runforsomething.net, which is hilarious. But Run for Something is an organization, and I want to say that they got in, like, so if you think of a lot of the younger candidates that are now in like the House, there's a ton of them, but candidates running in 2024, let's go through this real quick. Let's see. So Garrett Barnes is a judge in Craighead County, Arkansas. Chad Aull, Aull, State House District 79, Kentucky, which, God, they need someone. Billy Cook, State House District 19, Arkansas. Grossmont Zone 3, Nadia Farjood. Board of County Supervisors District 1, Solano County, California. Arizona, Eric Stafford. He's young. He looks like he's 15. I'm not kidding.
I
Bobby
believe you.
Omari, School Board, San Bernardino County, California. Micah Dyer, School Board, Peoria, Arizona. Like, these are all young, like, people who are like running their little butts off, and this is an organization that supports them. So they support you. Like, for this particular mailbag email, I'm like, go sign up with them, right? And then, like, they are going to help you out with how to figure out how to get into an office, school board, state house, city council, county board, sheriff, right? All these other little smaller offices that you can make a difference in. But again,
I
run
mean,
for
because
something.
you said this that week we did the podcast, though, is that the local elections are the ones that affect you
The most,
the
but
most. I was
yes.
going to say the most. Yes, the big elections affect the whole thing, but in a state level,
It is a
that's what you're
system.
living in.
Yes, it but
And
it is a
so, yes,
system.
you can be a part of the small elections, and it's, and you don't have to have a degree in political science. There's multiple people who
Yeah.
are in office who do not, and so but you have to start somewhere.
Yeah, and
So that's a great idea.
well, again, I'm going to plug it, runforsomething.net. And they work with you. They help you build a plan. They help you build statements. They help you try, they support you with figuring out how to raise money, right, from local people, and canvas and do all the things. But they provide a platform, and they are there to support,
Yeah.
younger voices like this who really don't feel like they're being representative, and help
Sure.
them out to get into these offices that are important. And I will say that they're nonpartisan, meaning they're just like, here's how to do it if you want to do it, right? They're going to support you no matter where you're at, whatever your beliefs are, but they're there to help you. And I think that's really important, though, is to understand that it is a system. I know we all feel like it's broken, and that's so easy to say. It's an easy out to just go, oh, fuck it, it's broken. Burn it to the ground and start over. And that's a lot of like the really, really far right Trump stuff. And it's also a part of the really, really far left, also is like nothing works. Fuck it all to hell. Let's just burn it down. You can't do that in a system this large or a system this powerful or a system with this much money. You have to attack it from the little issues. Money being the biggest one. Money is the biggest corruption in our whole system. We do not have free and fair elections when there's so much money involved from corporate PACs and, the 1% of the country that has all the money. It's not a representative government that way. So the class system has to be broken. But that is from the ground up. You have to do it from the bottom to the top. We started at the bottom. Now we're at the top. But that's how it works. That is how it works in a nutshell is no, you start, you run, you go, you vote for those little tiny city council members who you know, or, school board members who you know, like get people on there who care and want to do a good job, and they will. And there's a ton of people in government who are out there doing their job every fucking day. You don't hear about them. They're not on national news. They're not screaming and bitching and moaning and clogging the systems of the government up. But guess who gets all the news media coverage? All the ones who are. So yes, of course it feels disheartening. Of course it does. But like start looking up the little smaller people who are just showing up every fucking day and doing their best job to represent you and do their best job with the best intentions for the rest of the government. And there's a lot of them. So
And
I
reach
think that
out to them too. Like, why not
they
reach
will
out to
listen.
local people? Because they are the ones who will listen, because they do want to represent you and they want to keep their job and they want to, they're doing it the little, I say little people, but the
The
people in
lower, the
local
lower,
government
the
are
lower low.
working for you. And so reaching out to them is definitely important. And they will respond.
And then let's see. Yeah, the broken system and why vote when, it's just so disheartening. I presented or said, well, one of the big reasons is that, people who believe differently than you most likely will vote. So if anything, that should be your reason for voting is that you, there's going to be someone out there who's going to vote against what you think, regardless. So that's, if anything, that should be a motivation to just go do it, even if it does cause, anxiety, right? There's voting anxiety. There's voting anxiety everywhere. But again, I'm like, what are you listening to? Right? Go talk to your local representative. Go talk to them. I mean, email them. I do it occasionally. And I'll just be pissed off one night and send off like four fucking like fiery emails, and just be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this doesn't represent us. How can you say this and do this? And I will. But and it doesn't, I will get a response. It's usually a canned response, especially the higher up they are. But some local people will respond and say, yeah, you're right. I'm working on this, I'm working on this, I'm working on this. Just because you don't hear about it doesn't mean I'm not working on it. Hold the phone. I'm there. Yeah, I understand. I see you and I'm trying. So, and oftentimes they'll say, well, I understand that's how you feel. Try this and see if you can contact this person, and make your voice heard there, because sometimes they're not always the right person that you need to talk to. But
For
a lot of
sure.
the local ones are going to listen. It's in their best interest to listen because you're their constituent and that's their job.
Yes.
And you better be damn sure that whoever believes the opposite of what you'd believe, they're doing that.
Yes.
They are reaching out, they are talking to them, they are doing all those things. And even though it feels disheartening, they're for sure, for fuck's sake, they're doing it. So make sure that you do it also, right? And let's say that was the other question was, how do we engage if we don't feel like we can vote for anyone and we don't feel like there's any candidate? That's how you can engage. talk to some, reach out, talk to your local, whatever, city council, school board, the elected officials that are in your local community. Reach out, send them an email, talk to them. Even if you don't, let's say you didn't vote for them, but are you going to be more likely to vote for them if they reach back to you with,
Care enough to reach back. Yep.
are you going to be more likely to vote for them? Heck yeah, because you know that there's a representative person there, you know, that's either speaking up for you or right, trying to.
Absolutely.
How does citizen without voting? Yeah. And I think that's part of it. I don't know. How would you citizen without voting? What are
I
some other
mean,
things?
yeah, I mean,
You
it's
could
got to be
canvas
good.
for a candidate you actually believed in.
You absolutely could.
You can make phone calls. Vote.org. Who's the other one? There's several organizations that you can sign up with. I did this last election cycle. I think it's vote.org.
It is vote.org.
Vote.org is a website that will let you sign up. So you could do a phone bank. So let's say there's a really important election happening in, like, oh, I don't know, fucking Arizona, where they're about to ban and take the law back to 18 fucking 26. They just did yesterday. 1826. Yes.
You know, I saw that this morning. It was horrifying. Anyway.
Yes. So, but you could, and now, well, I think the really great thing about that whole entire situation, if we want a silver lining here,
We do.
is that basically that's going to turn Arizona blue.
Oh, for sure.
I'm like, y'all just fucked yourselves. Thank you very much.
That was the article I was reading this morning was about that. They're like, oh, well, I mean, because Arizona has been on the fence a few times, you know. So doing that just makes them go, well, fuck, you know, like doing this blanket thing. Oh, it's just crazy. Anyway.
160-year-old law. We couldn't even vote.
168, I believe, is what it
Yeah.
said.
You and I couldn't even vote
Right.
168 years ago, but we're
Right.
gonna roll it back. So fucking
Yeah.
stupid. So,
So normal. So normal.
and that is because people didn't speak up.
Yeah.
Right? And guess what? They're going to now because there's going to be a huge backlash,
Oh yeah,
right?
they're gonna speak out now for
Oh
sure.
yeah, it's going to happen. And I'm like,
Oh
okay, you're
yeah.
forcing them. That's cool, actually. So that is a silver lining.
I mean, that is okay. There you go. There's the silver lining.
That's silver lining. I'm like, great, you just turned that state into they're going to shut that shit down pretty quickly. Women are strong, women are powerful, even if we're not the loudest ones. And right now, you know, it's turned to like just this massive male toxicity voice out there going, rah, rah, rah. They're fucking, you know, losing their damn minds. And it's like, great. Well, you guys have
Well,
had.
and also, I would like to say we're not men haters. For all
Absolutely
our
not.
men listeners, because there are men who,
Understand.
yes, and also, I mean, I'm married to one who's pretty freaking, I mean, he's got patience and is very understanding of females because he raised three daughters and me.
He raised you. He
I say
raised
that.
me up.
He kind of did for the first few years. But I mean, there are good men that can be in politics. I don't think men
Absolutely.
should totally be out of politics. Absolutely, men be
They're
in politics, but
representative, half of the
you need
country.
to represent everybody and not just the wealthy.
And by your politics.
Yes. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but
So that
it
is
is
the
a
thing. And there
system.
I have not researched this because you know, I didn't think to beforehand, but I to pull up actual names of men who are making a difference. But there's the women that are coming in, there some of them are mad as hell. They're
It's
gonna do
great.
every it is amazing.
Yes.
I'm like,
Oh,
get it done.
I'm gonna say Rocana in
Make some kids.
California. Rocana is killing it. Like, he's just killing it. He's like, fuck this shit. I'm over it. You
Yeah.
know? And he's like, he sends me texts and stuff because I think I probably contributed at some point. But he'll send me texts and he's just like, we're over the fucking gun shit in schools. Tennessee just fucking, was it Tennessee? Just fucking voted yesterday for teachers to carry on campus.
Oh dear God, that's horrifying.
What the actual fuck? Now, I get it. I get it.
I
If you're in a
a little
classroom,
bit of fear, sure,
okay. Okay.
as a teacher, but what's with that one rogue teacher that a kid smarts off and he pulls out a gun and shoots him? Like,
Oh,
that
I'm not
is
even
my fear.
that's the least. That's the least
Ugh.
of it. We got to go backwards and go, why the fuck is it even necessary? Well, because people come into the school and do it. But what's the odds of them actually getting to the shooter and shooting them before they get shot first? Fuck that.
Right.
Also, why? Why do
Oh.
we need it? Why do we need it? Because there's too many
Yeah.
fucking guns. And you can disagree with me all you want on that, but responsible gun ownership is not going up.
No.
So, you know, and actually, I think I've told you this. I think I told our mom this. I think I've told my roommate for this. My partner knows this. If I go down in a school shooting, like, I want you to pamphlet the shit out of my dead body riddled with bullet holes. Like, get a helicopter, rent it. If that's how I go down, that's my medical directive. Take pictures of every bullet hole in my body and plaster them all over the fucking US because I want people to see it like Emmett fucking Till bullshit. And so people understand and they're like, oh, don't take pictures of blah, blah. I'm like, no, you fucking show everyone in the United States what the fuck happened. And I
Yeah.
want everyone to know that that could be their little freaking child. Oh my God, I have the worst. Well, it's so ass backwards how they're doing this. So yesterday, my boyfriend's works at a high school in Southern California. And they did a drill. And it's over 2 days. The drill was made to be offensive and disruptive. So they had an assembly every fucking 15 minutes.
Oh
Wait for it. Wait for it. And this isn't directly related to like voting or anything else other than how stupid this system is fucking working for us right now. So, and he's in special ed, right? So imagine, like, okay. We're talking about kids who need a little bit more, you know, learning assistance or different,
Sure.
right, systems for learning.
Yeah.
They're not going to process a 15-minute or assembly every 15 minutes, like disruption, very well. They're not going to handle that very well. They need, you know, a little bit more structure, maybe, you know, more stuff. Now, shit, I forgot to put in my sourdough. Today, so what that was about was drunk driving. I'm not kidding. Today, there are students who volunteered to be the person who died from a drunk driving accident, and they're going to
Oh
hold
my
it.
God, they did that in
Oh,
the high school my kids lived in.
they're holding a fucking funeral today
Oh yeah.
with the
They
parents
do that.
participating. Like, what the fuck?
Yes.
Why don't you just
They write
teach?
obituaries and put them in the paper and everything.
Okay. So why don't we just, instead of traumatizing every fucking child in the school, why don't we just teach them a more healthy relationship with alcohol?
Right. Oh my gosh, it was a horrifying. And they had actual crashed cars on the campus of the school that simulated what the wreck was where all of these kids died. They wrote obituaries. The parents wrote obituaries. They posted them in the paper. Like, it is freaking crazy. Oh,
Everyone
anyway.
knows if you tell people not to do something so many times, guess what they're going to do?
They're going to do it.
You're
Absolutely, they're going to
reinforcing
do it.
drunk driving
Yeah.
behavior. You're not preventing it. That is such
Right.
bullshit. You basically
Yeah.
traumatized all these kids for no fucking reason other than
Yeah.
to promote the fact that, oh, you can't have this.
Yeah.
It's like book banning. It's the same shit.
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm like, I'm so upset about that. And I'm like, how? How is that productive at all? But these are little things that I'm like, you know, I want to like write into that school district and, you know, just be like, I'm sorry, this teaches nothing. Like, you basically just taught a bunch of kids that it's, you shouldn't be doing this. You traumatize them. Guess what? They're going to probably go out and want to have a beer after that whole traumatization.
Because they're traumatized. They want to forget the trauma. Oh my God. No, they did that in the high school and they would do it every 4 years. The thing that they did with this, though, and I don't know if it's the same in California, is they didn't alert everyone that they were doing it. They only got certain people to participate.
Jesus.
They made it real as fuck. So
Even
it
worse.
was actually like, nobody knew this was happening. They would post it in the paper, pictures in the paper, put the cars at the high school. They would have a funeral at the high school for these kids that weren't there. Like it was the whole, like they went all the fucking way. It was
I find
fucking
that
horrifying.
disgusting.
One of my girlfriends, not, I mean, not a close girlfriend, but a girl that I worked with. She let her daughter participate in this. And I was like, how the fuck? And she goes, oh my God, it was so horrifying. I had to write her obituary and all this stuff. And I'm like, how
Why?
the fuck? Like, no. I didn't like it at all. I didn't like it. But yeah, terrible. Anyway, let's get off that subject. I think that we have shared a lot of stuff. I hope we answered questions. I hope.
Back really quick. I
Yeah,
know.
I think the mental health part is become more educated. And not be educated. What I mean is make yourself more aware, more comfortable talking to people so that it doesn't stress you out. Like if something's stressing you out, like talk about it. Right? Like find the right person to talk about it with, as far as like your representative or your local people or whatever. Send an email. I mean, it makes, I feel like writing something down makes such a big difference. Like if I
Is
can
probably the best way to approach it.
write it down, put it on paper. Something's pissing you off. If something is not right, write about it. Not just on paper, but send it. Like send an email. You know, I think that that helps because it's all stressful. I stress when, I mean, back when I had children, and I had was out of the cult, I was like, what the fuck am I raising my kids in? Like, because back 25 years ago, it still sucked. There was still things that were wrong with systems, and I had no idea how to navigate any of it. And I probably didn't like teach my kids how to do that well enough. But I should, because it really can be, I mean, it's not easy, but it should, you should have a voice, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and
Anyway.
well, I was gonna say, I think the big takeaway, you know, once again, I'm doing sourdough.
Yeah, you need to speak up. I can barely hear you.
Sorry, I had to start sourdough. I'm gonna bake some bread today. The big takeaway is if you're feeling that frustrated, if you're feeling that underrepresentative. Or underrepresented, and you're feeling that, you know, despair or that sense of like futility, then do something.
Yeah.
So let's say you don't vote because it's traumatizing and you can't handle that. Then go campaign, go talk to your representatives, go canvas for someone, go join a phone call bank in another state where you're hoping for this other candidate to win, right?
Yeah.
Do something because that's the alternative to sitting and wallowing and being, you know, totally fatalist and depressed and, you know, just frustrated with the entire system.
It is
Go
frustrating. Yeah.
do, it is frustrating and absolutely it's frustrating, but go do something, right?
Yeah.
Make your challenge or your frustrations into something you can actionably do. And
Sure.
even if it's something really small, it's going to help. it's going to help you feel as though, you know, you are contributing to a system, and then therefore it is helping you be more representative within that system because you're doing something about it.
There and, would be no system if there weren't individuals who.
Right. It's all, it isn't just a system. So you can't look at it
right.
like that.
Right. Okay, let's wrap this up. Rachel, wins and loss for the week.
You go first.
Okay. So I'm going with my loss, which is my frustration of the week, is taxes.
Okay. Fair. We need a progressive
I am
tax
so
system.
Overwhelmed. Oh my God. So overwhelmed. And it's like this pressure beating down on me. And I've got like 90% of them done. I may file an extension just to like put this out of my brain, but I don't want to. I want to just get them done. So that is my loss. And I have a week, less than a week to finish. So that's
did
my
you,
loss.
Did you know that in the 1950s, when everybody thinks it's like the most best time of our country and everybody was being successful and, you know, people were able to buy houses and right. have families
yeah.
and do all that shit and afford it. Did you know that the top percentage of tax payers were at a 90% tax rate?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
No, it's not horrifying. They
wow.
don't need all that money.
Right? Wow. That's
okay.
crazy.
So we need a progressive tax system. That's why you're so stressed about it.
Yes.
Okay,
okay.
What's your win?
Oh, you tell me your loss.
My
Who
loss
first.
It's a mashup. It's probably a tie between like, what is it, the Tennessee fucking carry law and the Arizona abortion ban? Because they
okay.
just keep coming, you know, they just keep coming, and we're getting more and more of our rights taken away every fucking day because of lobbyists and extremists, and
mm-hmm.
it's just bullshit. So that's my
yeah.
loss. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not just those two. Florida's is the same. Florida's about to ban it. So there's absolutely no women's reproductive health care in the entirety of the South if that goes through. So
yeah.
it's all of those. It's all of the loss of rights for people.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's right. Horrible.
Win.
Okay, so my win for the week is my business is insanely booming to the point where I'm stressed out. So it's... It's a win in that I have as much business as I can handle and more. So
good.
I'm very thankful that I went out on my own 2 years ago, left a company that I love to hate, loved for years and then began to hate. And it just treated me like shit. So I left and went out on my own. And it's scary as hell, like starting your own thing. And I'm telling you right now, it is so good. And I'm so thankful that it's insanely busy. So there's
good.
My win.
Excellent. We like that. So
mm-hmm.
Now go pay taxes on all that money you just made.
Literally.
Literally.
Okay,
my win. I think it's roommate four graduating this week. Like I think this week it's set
next
in
month.
A little. Yeah, I think it's set in a little bit just because I'm having to start preparations for it, which fuck, it was expensive. Again,
yeah.
one of my fucking losses too is education is bullshit right now. But we did the thing. I mean, she's going to be done in less than a month now.
Yeah.
And I'm super proud. I did
yep.
it basically on my own. I don't think everyone should go to college. I don't think it's meant for everyone, but she certainly was the kid that needed to go and did it. And, I'm really grateful for that. I'm that's a win. Again, I don't think, and not everyone can afford it. So I understand my privilege there too, but I'm also acknowledging the fact that it was a huge accomplishment. She's done it and we're almost out of the woods.
I cannot wait for that moment.
God. God, and you know, it doesn't mean they're done. Like, we still have to be parents and they're still gonna
right?
need stuff.
Of course.
And yeah, she called me last night and was like, I want to look at getting a new car, and I'm like, fuck. Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I didn't say that, but
yeah,
I was like, well, you know, and but she's asking all the right questions and I really appreciate that. So that's my win for the week. All right. Well, I think we should do this mailbag as long as people keep sending us emails, because we're
Yeah,
happy
we'll
to
do a
discuss stuff.
mailbag once we get an email, and love it and love to hear from you.
And
So,
keep sharing, guys. Share the podcast with
yes.
people. Yeah.
We would love for you to share our podcast. Share it with, on your Facebook page, on your Instagram, whatever. Share our podcast. We
rate us.
Rate it. That would be awesome too.
Yes.
I know we're all over the place a lot of times, but we definitely want to relate to people and share our story and share our stories of, you know, us growing up, our kids growing up, raising our children, all of the things. And so, yeah, we'd love to hear from you. sistersdeclassified@gmail.com. And you can see us on Facebook, Sisters Declassified, sisters_declassified on Instagram. And yeah,
send
have
us
a
a note.
Fantastic week, or I guess weekend, because it's going to be airing on a Friday.
Friday.
So have a good weekend.
Yep.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to these two zany and half zane sisters today. If you would like to show your support, and we'd love to have it, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.